Please remember that when play is in progress, pucks will leave the ice surface at a high rate of speed.
He shoots and scores! Bounce gets a game-tying goal! Pretty fly for a white guy!
This is the Avalanche's first look at the Rats.
They added more staff for this game tonight. 25 people are out there gathering them in.
The Florida Panthers are proud to select from the Kingston Frontenacs, Eric Goodbranson.
Jonathan Huberdeau.
Quinton Howden.
Nick Bukestad. Dmitry Kulikov.
You're listening to Rat Trick Radio.
Welcome to Rat Trick Radio, the official podcast of theRatTrick.com, your source for Florida Panthers news and information. We are joining you here on Rat Trick Radio podcast. So excited to talk about these Florida Panthers. And with me is my good friend and yours, David Lasseter.
Hello, everybody. Hello, gentlemen. And Josh, I forgot to mention, we are the New York Times of Florida Panthers news and information.
You are correct, sir. You are correct. And also, joining us here in the studio, the senior editor of theRatTrick.com, Frank Rikus.
Good evening, gentlemen, fans. Josh, I take offense to that word senior. I just had a birthday, so let's be cautious of that.
I just call it like I see it, Frank. Well, boys, so many things to talk about in the world of Florida Panthers fandom. But first off, just to throw it out there, we haven't got a chance to talk about it because this happened a little bit after our Rat Trick Radio news cycle ended coming into last week's show. But we come into this week's show learning that Jacob Markstrom, the alien himself, has been sent down to the San Antonio Rampage. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, I think that we should have seen this coming. Initially, I think a lot of us were upset with the actual decision, but when you really think about the future of the team and the future of Markstrom himself, it really is the best thing for him to go down to San Antonio, play a bunch of games, build his confidence, not get some confidence, because I think the way he played in his five games here with us shows that he does have the ability to play at an NHL level. But I think it's more important for him right now to go down there and continue building his confidence, work on his game, dominate, if that's the proper word to use, and come back up here either later this year or definitely next year. And, you know, depending on what happens with Scott Clemenson, whether he stays with the club for the entire season or not, we don't really know what's going to happen there. A lot of teams are having some goaltender issues, and once he plays a few games, he could be trade bait. We don't know, but you know, Markstrom was impressive, but let's not forget that he had a fairly up and down season last year in Rochester. And yes, I know he hurt his knee and was struggling with some of that, but the future is bright and goal. We just have to realize that as unpopular as a decision as this was, it really is the best thing for Markstrom as well as for the Panthers moving forward.
It was absolutely expected, although, you know, as a fan, you're a little bit disheartened because you're watching how well he played and how dominant he was, you know, as a young guy. But we knew it was going to happen. You're not going to send Scott Clemenson down to San Antonio. He's a guy who might get a little something on the open market. He's got an expiring contract, which teams like. As Frank, as you said, we've seen a few teams who need goalie help, most specifically the team with the blue maple leaf on their sweater. They are in big time need of goalie help. Columbus has been a nightmare in net. And you're not going to just say, okay, well, let's get rid of Scott Clemenson now for nothing. He has a chance to play himself into a position where maybe you don't really skip a beat. Maybe you can give Jacob Markstrom a full season in the American Hockey League at San Antonio, or Scott Clemenson could come up, maybe catch a few eyes. People will look at his contract, say it's an expiring number, and then Jacob Markstrom could be just a phone call away. So I can understand the fans' frustration because we all want to see the future of this team and to see a guy play so well so early and then to see him go down. is a little bit disheartening, but really I think overall is running the team as a business and for a vision going future. It was an expected and really a no-brainer move.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key to all of this is understanding that Jacob Markstrom, as good of a goaltender as he is, as well as he played up here, is still a very young goaltender. He needs to go down and start games, get ready. And the thing is, this Panthers franchise for so many years played guys before they were ready. I mean, just going back and just easily you can think of guys that played in for the Panthers before they should have. I mean, Jay Bomeister, Nathan Horton, Steven Weiss, maybe even Dmitry Kulikov, guys who really could have used those extra years of development with a little bit less pressure to kind of learn the game and feel it out and then be able to come up and compete on a high level with a lot more experience. And we don't want to do that. And I know that Dale Tallon has committed to not doing that. That is why Jonathan Huberdeau is not with the team. That is why Erik Gudbranson took a year before he came up, even though some people thought that he could have came up last season. We don't want to do that anymore. Tallon wants to let these guys develop, and I think that's just a really good idea. That's how you should manage a hockey team.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And if you read the story that I posted the other day regarding Markstrom being sent down, goaltender is a very special position. There's a lot of learning involved, and there's a lot of mental stress on these guys. And, two prime examples, one is Andrew Raycroft, who won Rookie of the Year when he played with Boston, hasn't been able to find a starting job for the most part since then. He's now a 31-year-old journeyman goalie backing up Carey Lehtinen in Dallas. The other one that most recently that comes to mind is Steve Mason in Columbus, who had a tremendous rookie season, got them into the playoffs, and now the guy can't stop a beach ball. So I think sometimes these guys come in, they're rushed a little bit too soon, and they're thrown into the pile, and for whatever reason it is, things get too difficult, and they're not mature enough, if that's the word to use, to handle the rigors of a schedule.
Yeah, you mentioned Steve Mason. Another guy I was thinking of is a guy the Panthers saw the other night, and Jonas Gustafsson, who was thought to be a pretty good signing for Brian Burke and really maybe the linchpin for the turnaround of that franchise. And right now, the worst nickname goalie in the league with the monster, unless you're referring to his goals against average, because this is, for whatever reason, it's kind of a funny thing. It's almost like a pitcher in baseball where a guy can come out and have great stuff one year and the next year can't find the strike zone. So, maybe taking your time with Markstrom is the best thing in the long run. Like I said, I can understand the fans wanting him here, but, the idea is to keep him here for 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, watch him develop along with the young talent on this team.
Of course, another young talent on this team that has been doing very well and kind of has experienced a little bit of a setback here is Jonathan Huberdeau. Dave, why don't you give us a little update of what's going on with Huberdeau?
Well, depending on who you listen to, his timetable for being out is anywhere between 3 to 4 weeks and 4 to 6 weeks. As a broken foot, it looked like he suffered it in warm-ups with the QM. Oh, I just say the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. I'm no good with acronyms. But in the Super Series with the Russian teams the other night, it really stinks for Jonathan because he was on a frenetic pace since returning from the Panthers. Already in the top 10 in scoring, and he's played about 10 less games than most of the guys on there. He has 10 goals and 18 assists. And St. John, I think, as last time I checked, was maybe 1 point out of the best record in the league. That's pretty good considering he's missed all that time. I haven't seen anything regarding his status for the World Junior Tournament, and that's something I really hope he would play in just as a fan because I love that tournament. That is a great tournament. It's fun to watch those guys play. Would really stink for Team Canada and me as a fan, even though, of course, I'll be rooting for United States. To see him miss that opportunity because it would be great for him.
Yeah, he was tearing up that league this year off to a really fantastic start, and you love to see that with you know, your number one pick, hoping that he has a kind of season like that and prepares himself for what hopefully is going to be a fantastic rookie season next year when he comes back and hopefully is able to earn a spot. And, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, boy, look at how much he's how well he's playing down there. We could really use that ability up here. And you have to take a couple steps back and realize that, you know, he's down there playing with guys that are his age, you know, 18, 17, 18, 19 years old. It's a lot different than playing against guys up here that are significantly older than that, bigger than that, and stronger than that. It is unfortunate that he does have the broken foot. I hope it's you know, closer to 3-4 weeks as opposed to 4 to 6 weeks, because I too would like to see him in that tournament, because that would be a great way for us to, you know, shine on one of our rookies and give us some additional, you know, publicity and make it well known that, you know, we have a future. We've got a very strong future down with our younger players, and he could be the perfect catalyst to help make this team a solid contender, you know, year after year, which is really what we're trying to do. And it, again, it goes back to putting him down there and getting him some more experience, and he can, you know, tear up the league and build up some confidence and come back next year and, you know, be strong. And I think it's, you know, while that was a disappointing move, it was a good move, but hopefully he rebounds well and he has a strong finish to the season so that we're ready to bring him up next year.
For sure. That's just, you know, it's hard to have that kind of setback, but it's good to know that he's going to bounce back and be a big part of this team. I'm really excited about Jonathan Huberdeau. I think he's going to be an all-star and just a really good player for the Florida Panthers franchise. All right. It's time to go to our segment that we call Inside the Numbers.
There's going to be 20, 30, maybe 100 of those things. And as soon as they know we're here, this place is going to be crawling with them.
I was 99% certain about you. But I had to get rid of that 1% doubt.
I was the intellectual equivalent of a 98-pound weak.
A2, A2, A2.
Listen, in order to maintain airspeed velocity, a swallow needs to beat its wings 43 times every second, right?
Something like 36?
Would you boys?
Well, what is that anyway, something like 36? Does that include me?
Inside the Numbers. And this week, what the numbers we are going to look at is going to be the attendance numbers for the last 10 years and some maybe some things you guys weren't aware of. Florida Panthers have kind of held their own in terms of the attendance numbers, even though that the quality of the on-ice product hasn't been what it is in some other cities, but yet you still get people who harp on and say, well, fans don't want to come. And now, the attendance numbers aren't exactly sterling, but when you want to compare it to some teams that they've outdrawn, it's pretty surprising. The first year I go to is the 2001-2002 season where the Panthers traded Pavel Bure that year, that March 2002. They were fourth in the Southeast Division, and yet they ranked 18th in attendance. They had a horrible record at 22-44-10-6. Maybe for some of you who don't remember, the 10 stands for ties. There were ties in the league not too long ago. And in that year, they actually finished ahead of the New Jersey Devils, the Calgary Flames, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yes, the team everyone wants to go see now. You know, that there are dozens of fans, hundreds of fans in every building they play in. Chicago and Boston. You know, these are their teams who are entrenched. Chicago and Boston were original six teams. Chicago, you know, their troubles have been well documented before getting their things together. But also Calgary, a Canadian team where they say, well, you know, the Canadian teams, we love our hockey. They outdrew the Calgary Flames not too long ago. Next year, you can add the team list of Buffalo Sabres, which everyone says is a great hockey market. They've had problems with keeping guys who are quality players, not so much anymore. But again, this wasn't a good team. This was a 24-36-13-9 team. Yet they finished ahead of all these teams that are considered great hockey markets. I go to the next year, 03-04, where again, not a good team. Yet they were only outdrawn by the Western Conference champion Calgary Flames by 500 fans a game. And yet you go back and you look at some of the teams they outdrew: Buffalo, Boston, New Jersey, Washington. Again, Washington, a team that has a whole lot of fans now. They didn't have a whole lot back then. And when you look at again, some of the other teams that they've outdrawn over the years, St. Louis. St. Louis considered a good hockey market. The Panthers outdrew them. Who were the superstars on this team? There were no superstars. There were players like Jay Bollmeister, Nathan Horton, Ole Jokinen, and Roberto Luongo, but hardly a good team. Yet they've outdrawn all these teams. And I always mention the Boston Bruins. If you remember last year, Jack Edwards took a nice shot at the Florida Panthers on one of their segments on NESN TV. As recently as 2007-2008 season, the Panthers outdrew the original six, the everybody loves them now Boston Bruins. Wouldn't think that by listening to some of their fans, but you know, these fan bases always take shots at the Florida Panthers. Well, now you got a little bit of information to give back. You say, hey, wait a second. Your nice new Bruins sweater with your Nathan Horton Bruins sweater. Not so fast, my friend. Florida Panthers have held their own. There's only been a slight variation in attendance over the years.
Thank you, Dave. We really appreciate that look inside the numbers. And, you know, it's true. The Panthers do outdraw some teams that traditionally have played better than them. And a lot of times that is ignored, but it's good to remember and to realize that the Panthers do have a fan base here in South Florida. And I think that when you discount them, then you discount a lot of other fan bases in the NHL as well. And now, here's our next segment, the X-Panther Factor.
12th captain of Vancouver Canucks, Mr. Roberto Luongo.
Rangers looking good here to start this overtime. It's Jokinen closing in. His shot, he scores! Ole Jokinen does it again to the Penguins. The New York Rangers with a dramatic win here tonight.
Cut off in the left wing. Board scores! Christian Husalius tipped it in front. That'll be a hat trick.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Well, if that intro doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Tonight, we are going to look at, or today, depending on when you're listening to this, we are going to look at Rostislav Olezh, first-round draft pick for the Florida Panthers, a number 7 pick in 2004. And before I get into his current status, I want to do a little review for those of you who may not remember the startup that he actually put in place here as a Florida Panther. His first year, he played 59 games, scoring 8 goals, 13 assists, 21 points. Not bad, not great, not overwhelming, but, you know, maybe had some promise that we were hoping for him to develop into, you know, a solid second line left wing, which the team really needed. In the 2006-2007 season, he played 75 games, which is was at that point, you know, pretty solid year for him. 11 goals, 19 assists, and 30 points. And that fantastic season got him awarded a 6-year contract from Uncle Jack Martin at $3.5 million a year, which kind of just blew me away that that's all it took to get a 6-year deal. And I realized that maybe the Panthers were trying to, you know, solidify with their youth, but I don't really feel that that contract was warranted, and I don't think most other people do. And Rusty, as he had been continued to be called, just spent the next couple seasons battling injuries, you know, had a lot of groin pulls, had a lot of hand problems, you know, broken finger, wrist, whatever it was, and he just could never really put together a full season. However, in 2009-2010, he did play 78 games, 14 goals, 15 assists for 29 points. Again, not bad, but not something that you are pleased with the kind of contract that he had with what we were paying him for that length of the deal. And his last season here was in 2010-2011. 6 goals, 11 assists, and only 44 games, again, suffering with a bunch of minor nagging injuries. One of the best things that Dale Talon has done was to somehow finagle the Chicago Blackhawks to take Rusty in a trade. That trade obviously brought us Brian Campbell, which, you know, a lot of people say is a swap of 2 inflated contracts. Well, I'll tell you what, I will take Campbell and his contract any day of the week over Rusty Olish. And we can make that trade 10 times, and I would still take it. Currently in Chicago, the Hawks have played 15 games as we record this. Rusty has been in three. He sat or was a healthy scratch for 11 in a row. And what does it say, guys, when you're Rusty Olish, but Dan Carcillo is playing on the second line for the Chicago Blackhawks? You mean to tell me that you're not good enough to beat out Carcillo to play even in the top nine, and Carcillo's playing on the second line? And they were actually happy with Carcillo's, you know, production and the way he played. Finally, Olish got into a game the other night, so he's now played three games. He's a minus one. He has three shots on the season, and he is going to continue probably to be a huge disappointment in Chicago. He's got two more years left on that contract. I don't foresee him staying past this season. I'd be really, really shocked unless he, you know, somehow finds his game. And I don't know what game that is, because I don't really know what the Panthers saw when they drafted him. I'm not a scout. I'm not an expert. But if you just look at his stats, I don't think they warranted him being a number seven pick. But in any event, that's the ex-Panther factor.
Rusty, rusty, rusty. Man, Rostislav Olesh is just one of those really disappointing guys. And it's kind of funny because there's a guy who goes to almost all the Panther games who still rocks the Olesh jersey. And I just kind of shake my head and I'm like, man, what a waste of money. All right, and here we are with the next segment, which is called Unbelievable.
The thing you say, you were the man who pushed me away. The thing you say, you're unbelievable.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
And the thing that is so much we are so much dumber for hearing comes to us today via Sportsnet's Mike Brophy. I just want to remind Panther fans that at the beginning of the season, Mike Brophy from Sportsnet said that the Florida Panthers will not be any better this year than they were last year. Well, Mike Brophy, I have a couple things to debate with you. I think the Florida Panthers that we had last year were awful. They were basically composed of an AHL team playing an NHL roster, because Dale Tallon was setting himself up to make the free agent acquisitions and rookie signings that he made this offseason. In fact, I'll have you know, Mike Brophy, that the Florida Panthers currently sit 8th in the Eastern Conference as we record this on Thursday night. They currently sit 8th in the Eastern Conference, and with a win tonight, will move into 1st place in the Southeast Division. And no, Mike Brophy, this is not two games or three games into the season. No, this is 15 games into the season. The Florida Panthers are still competitive. They're still in the top eight. And they are a much, much different team than they were last year. You know, Mike, I got to tell you, I think you were wrong on this one. Your hockey sense needs to perk up a little bit and see that what Dale Tallon has done for this franchise is revolutionize the way the Panthers play hockey. I think it would be safe to say, just from looking at the roster changes alone, Mike, that the Florida Panthers were literally not going to be the same team they were last year. And I think that it speaks for themselves where they are in the standing, that the Florida Panthers are indeed a much, much different team. And I'd love for you to come down to beautiful Sunrise, Florida, and see a good hockey game, because you will, as the Florida Panthers continue to play with a lot of energy, a lot of skill, and a lot of heart. And that is our segment called Unbelievable.
And Mike Brophy wasn't the only one who really severely doubted the moves that Dale Tallon made on July 1st. I don't think the ink was dry in any of these contracts before guys started chirping a little bit. TSN's Craig Button also put his two cents in. In essence, saying the same thing: this team's going to be no better. I see no improvement. I remember even Barry Melrose back on opening day talking about the Florida Panthers and say, "Hey, you know, every bus that'll pull up to the Bank Atlantic Center is going to contain a better team than the Panthers." Haven't heard a whole lot lately from some of those guys, but interesting to see some of their reaction after the win against Toronto on Tuesday, and how a lot of guys, especially some guys up in Toronto who usually don't like to give this team a whole lot of credit, this organization or this market a whole lot of credit, who said, hey, you know what? These guys are pretty good. They're, you know, not only are they getting a little bit of results, but they're fun to watch. And, you know, a Pete DeBoer coach team that has been here the previous 3 years, and a Jacques Martin team, you know, years before that, has not been fun to watch. So things are turning around just nicely, and you know what? They can sit there and badmouth this team all they want. Let's just keep winning.
All right, and now we have an interview with the legendary Florida Panthers in-arena host, Bill Murphy. Let's listen to that right now. All right, and we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Florida Panthers in-arena MC, Bill Murphy, joins us here on Rat Trick Radio. Bill, welcome to the program.
Josh, thanks for having me, man. Very cool. Nice introduction.
Yeah, well, you know, I have quite a idol to look up to in your way of introducing people, so I try my best to emulate what I've heard from you.
Well, there you go. At least you didn't do the like starting lineup type and scream it out. That would have been a little much, but that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, starting as guest on the left wing, number one in our hearts, Bill Murphy, right? There you go.
Very cool. I just want to start, before we get going here, I just want to go ahead and make a blanket statement that the views expressed in this interview are those of the guest and the host, and do not necessarily reflect those of the Florida Panthers and Sunrise Sports Entertainment. So,
very
just
good.
To cover my butt, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. That sounds very. That sounds like you thought about that. That you consulted your lawyers or something. But
yeah, something like that.
But yeah, definitely. This is Bill Murphy Raw. Bill Murphy Live is for sure. Bill, why don't you tell us a little bit? You've been involved with the Florida Panthers for quite a little while now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that came about and how you got involved working in hockey?
Well, I always knew I wanted to be involved in hockey. It was when I was a little kid, the first game I ever went to was in Madison Square Garden in 1971. Kind of gives away my age. But the first game my dad took me to, I actually found myself fixated on the announcer, who was like situated right at the red line at the scorer's table. And I kept, you know, watching him as a little kid thinking, wow, that's got to be the coolest job in the world. This guy announces everything that's going on in the game, and he probably gets paid for it, and he gets to see every Rangers game. So it, like, as a little kid, immediately became, you know, one of my dream jobs. And I've been fortunate enough to chase down a few of those over my career, you know, radio DJ, and that was another thing I wanted to do as a kid. But the hockey announcing thing was something I always had my eye on. I worked for a short time as a reporter for the Dallas Stars later in my career when the Stars first started in Dallas in 93-4-ish, and got some experience there amidst all of my other radio DJ music stuff. And then I moved back down to Florida in 94 and was hanging around Miami Arena doing appearances for the radio station that I was working at down here. And then the next thing you know, they were looking for an announcer and arena MC when they moved to the National Car Rental Center. And I managed to get that one. And then that turned into public address announcer in 02. And now I'm back to arena MC, but still getting to do what I was admiring as a kid and going and getting paid to go see hockey games. Nothing could be cooler.
Well, and it seems like you have a lot of fun. You get to interact with the fans, you get to make jokes, and of course, you have your famous thing that you've kind of put into Panthers fandom tradition by yelling Panther before every goal call. That's a really neat thing that you've got to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people kind of identify that as a signature for me, but just to clarify that, I sort of brought it back when I went in as public address announcer in 02, because John DeMott, the original PA announcer who did it in Miami Arena, and I kind of, someone I looked up to who I worked very closely with in the first few years down there, had been doing it. The next PA announcer we had after that for a couple of years, Lindsey Dean, kind of changed it up and didn't do that. So when I auditioned for the job in 02, I kind of brought back John's call and did it a slightly different way and a little more singing kind of thing, you know, and the people took to it right away. And of course the fans just, you know, they eat that up, and I think it's a really cool thing that we have that we can truly say nobody else really does in the league, and I love it. And the best part about that is that it happens after you drop the puck on the ensuing face-off. So the players are skating around, and you get that excitement and the goal call. You know, it kind of keeps the momentum going and gives us a little advantage for at least the first part of the next shift, you know?
Well, it's got to be cool. I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I've been standing next to someone who gets a text message, and your voice is yelling Panthers. That's got to be a neat experience.
Oh, wow, that's very cool. I haven't gotten that myself, but I like that. The other thing I wanted to try to do was, you know, we're all watching the road games together, and with Twitter the way it is, I think it's amazing to watch Twitter as a game unfolds. And I think what I'm going to try to do is encourage the fans to, you know, get on Twitter during away games, and I'll shoot out the word Panthers with a blank space after that, and everybody can respond with goal, and we'll see how much of that we get going around on Twitter. So let's just say I'm starting that tradition right now. Let's try to get the ball rolling, you know?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I think it's just such a cool thing to have something that's ours. You know, we've had the Rat, which is, you know, definitely a tradition in Florida Panthers franchise history. We have this, but we don't have a lot of the other, you know, Pot Vin Sucks and things like that other storied franchises have. So at least we have some sort of tradition that we can cling to. So that's really cool.
Yeah, no, I think you know, fans that watch from other teams all over the country, when they watch our games and they see that, they definitely identify with us. And, you know, I'd like to think that it's a little bit intimidating to be on the opposing team and hear that, especially if we score a bunch of goals. I would imagine that grates on the players' nerves from the other team. So, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Now, Bill, you also, you stay in your FloridaPanthers.com profile that you actually played hockey as a kid. That's got to be a really interesting thing to now, you know, translate that into working for a professional hockey team. Honestly, I don't know that a very many members of the South Florida media really even know what hockey's all about. So it's really cool to see you actually have a passion for the game that's really hard to find down here.
Yeah, and I think that really helps. You know, first and foremost, I was a player as a little kid. I mean, I was a squirt, I was a mite, I was a peewee, the whole thing, and did the whole thing, played high school hockey, had college scouts checking me out when I was freshman, and unfortunately moved to Florida after that, so it didn't really play as much, but I've been, even to this day, I still play recreationally, and I love it. It's the best exercise I get, and it's something I try to do regularly. It definitely helps with the game. From watching thousands and thousands of games since I was a little kid, I remember just, you know, I'm really aware of the timing of when to announce stuff and how to carry the fans through the experience by the announcing, because I can feel the game. I can feel the momentum and where it's going. And, you know, when I was doing the PA announcing stuff, I knew how to put that inflection in the right place when we had a bad penalty called on us, or if an important power play was coming up from a penalty for the other team. I knew just the way to say it so that the fans could get, like, you know, sucked right into the whole experience. So it definitely helps, and almost an unfair advantage, I think, because being the market that this is, as you very well know, of a lot of people that have just had to adapt to the game with not growing up with it. I think the press is doing a fine job of staying on things, and those guys are pros and they know what they're doing. So, you know, they're doing a fine job of covering it the way they need to. But it definitely has an advantage to have, you know, 30 plus years of hockey experience playing and watching and being involved in it, you know, on my side. So,
well, and I think there's so many little things like that, that honestly, NHL fans, when they go into arena, they really don't notice how one arena can be so much more exciting than another arena, just based on things like that, like the way that announcer calls a goal, the traditions that they have. It just can totally change the atmosphere of a building.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, even with what I'm doing now, I see things happen where I'll see an offside happen, and I'll see some fans off to my side. They're kind of looking at each other like, why did things stop? And I just want to go up to them and, you know, but tap him on the back and go, oh, no, that was offside. That guy came in the blue line before that other guy did that, you know, because I think once people really understand the rules and, you know, let's face it, a good portion of our fans don't completely understand them, and it just makes the game much more exciting when you realize the parameters of the blue lines and the center ice area and, you know, why the game's much more exciting when it's inside the blue line and, you know, having to get back and all that, you know. I just wish that all the fans could be up to speed on all that, but unfortunately they can't. So the rest of them just come and have a great time at the arena, you know.
I think part of that is really obvious that I've noticed when there goes to overtime and you see, you know, a couple hundred sometimes fans leave thinking the game's over, it's a tie. They don't realize that there's more hockey coming.
You got to wonder whether they're just trying to beat traffic or get the kids home to bed early enough, or if they don't know that there's more hockey. That's That's funny. I would be surprised to find out if that there are that many people leaving because they think the game's over. So I don't know. I'm giving them more credit than that.
Why else would you leave? I mean, you got to know who wins. You go home, you tell your wife, hey, I went to the hockey game tonight. She goes, who won? You're like, oh, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. a lot of times I've gotten tickets for people and I've seen them leave in the third period and it's, you know, a tie game or we're down by a goal. And then I end up talking to them the next day and they're like, too bad we lost. I go, what do you mean we lost? We came back and tied that thing and we won in the shootout. That's happened a few times, and as the old saying goes, never leave a hockey game early, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, Bill, you know, obviously you've been with the Panthers through some rough times, and now we're coming into a new era of Florida Panthers hockey where we have all these new players that came over in the offseason through the acquisitions by Dale Tallon. You have young guys coming up through the draft and through the system. Where are you at as far as your optimism for this Florida Panthers team?
Well, let's keep in mind that I've been working in that building since 1998, since it opened. And, you know, aside from that playoff season, you know, with the Pavel Bure thing and getting into the playoffs against New Jersey, I'm way more excited about this team the way it is right now than I even was then. We were a one-man or a two- or three-guy team back then, and I don't think anybody even expected them to go any deeper than they did, and that was getting swept in the first round. This season, it's just the possibilities are endless. Where there's no doubt this team is competing, but the most exciting thing is that they're deep. And even though they're relatively healthy so far this season, I'm not even worried if a few players get sidelined here and there because even the guys that we're expecting that are waiting in the wings and the minors and coming up to through the AHL to this team, it looks really, really exciting. I'm telling you, so far the highlight for me was working the three games that we did against Nashville and Tampa Bay in preseason. There was a little mini tournament up at Saveology.com Iceplex, and our rookies were just far superior to those guys. We had guys, it was almost unfair. We had guys that, you know, Huberto was playing and also Goodbranson was in there. We got to see a lot of the guys that are the future of this team, and it was just really exciting. So not only this year, which I'm sure everybody agrees they're competing and a drive for the playoffs is definitely on the way. I think next year and the year after should be even more exciting. This is going to be a team that's going to be in the top third of the league over the next 3 or 4 years. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm having a lot of fun watching these guys and getting used to the lines that they're having and coming up with line combinations with exciting players and guys that you know can score 20, 30 goals and a solid, solid defense. This is the time, this is the most excited I've been, and I'm sure it's the most excited everybody's been about the Panthers in a long, long time. So, and I guess we'll take the added benefit of basketball not being played right now because it's a good time for the Panthers to steal the spotlight.
You know, Bill, if you had to pick one of the players that's come to be a part of the organization, whether through the draft or through free agency, that you are just absolutely excited about, you know, the number one guy that when they acquired him, you said, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see this guy play, who would that be?
You're lobbing me softballs, Josh. This question is way too easy to answer. When Dale picked up Brian Campbell, I was getting goosebumps. I almost got goosebumps just now saying it again because and Dale knew it. It was this would be the first acquisition. It's the one he wanted to kind of attract everybody else to him. But I had been watching Campbell. I watched Campbell very closely when I happened to. Well, I got a chance to go to Finland for the two preseason or the two regular season games that the Panthers played against Chicago at the beginning of the 2009-10 season. And I was just fixated with Brian Campbell. Don't get to see the West that much. Knew a lot about him. Saw him up close. Watch the way he skates. You watch Brian Campbell on and off the puck, the way he skates. Nobody skates any more fluid than that. It's just a thing of beauty. And you can see it on his face that he loves being, the captain more or less of that back line for the Panthers and the guy that's carrying the puck and leading the way. It's just such a key ingredient. And as we all well know, after that, that started the domino effect of all the rest of those players who wanted to be surrounded by Campbell and Tallon. So yeah, there's the easy answer to that question. Of course, the rest of them are all great too, but that was an awesome ingredient and a great pickup for this team.
I think one of the things that I really like about Brian Campbell, like you said, not only is he a very fluid skater, but I tell a lot of people, watch Brian Campbell play. Every time he touches the puck, he makes something happen. He gets it on He gets it on a forward stick. He starts a rush. He takes a shot. I mean, and I'll say that to people who are not huge hockey fans. I'll say, pay attention to number 51. See what he does. And all of a sudden, they'll be like, you're right. That guy is controlling the game.
No, no. And borderline hockey fans and people that don't know much about the game can pick up on that by watching Campbell instantly. I mean, nobody makes things happen. There are not many players in the league anyway that can make things happen in those first few strides after he gets the puck, like you said, than Brian Campbell does. He knows exactly which direction to go to. He knows where to draw players from the other team to get some open ice going. He has speed, you know, and we've got a lot of guys, and the Panthers have a lot of guys with speed too that are working well with him. But you described it perfectly. And for the people that go to the games and don't really know what to pay attention to or who to latch on to, let's start with Brian Campbell, because watching Brian Campbell will definitely endear even the most distant hockey fans to the game.
Well, and for the locker room, too. I mean, he's so good. I mean, he's the guy who gets up at the beginning of the season and says to the media, listen, it is unacceptable for us not to make the playoffs this year. I mean, we haven't had a guy like that stand up and say, listen, we're going to do this in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know even how many people really wanted him to say that at first. It's a little ballsy. But, you know, it was great to hear that. And, you know, another thing is, in that, not that I spend a lot of time in the locker room, I really don't. There's no need for me to. But, you know, we've been doing these pregame segments lately, and I have to go on morning skate and pick up some sound from a couple of players. And I really have been seeing a lot of camaraderie in that locker room. There's music playing like there was in the days when Brian Skrudland was a captain, and it was a loose, fun, funny atmosphere. And there's a lot of that going on right now. You see, you know, Theodore and Markstrom, you know, last week joking around with each other and being real, real cool and supportive of each other. Obviously, that whole goaltending situation is working out beautifully. I think it's, you know, one for all for one there. You know, you'll see guys making fun of each other, imitating each other, and goofing around. And I just think that's exactly what this team needs. The whole organization needs that, and it's starting with the players. And we're all having a lot of fun right now. I just hope it keeps up.
You know, speaking of the days of Brian Skrudland, what do you think of this whole campaign this season? You know, we see red. They're going back to the red jerseys, the red seats. You know, everything just kind of bringing it back. As someone who's been around the Panthers organization for such a long time, what does we see red mean to you?
When I heard the campaign start, I thought, wow, that's awesome. That means we're mad. You know, I say we see red, you know, meaning that you're literally turning red because you're fuming about something. And I love that. I love that's part of the dynamic. I think red is a great color. Let's face it. I know there's a lot of people in hockey that agree with me that not only do the Chicago Blackhawks have the greatest uniform in that red home jersey, but it's so sharp-looking, and it's so intimidating. And I think it's the best uniform in sports, to tell you the truth. I think it just looks so sharp. I was always, always admired that. And then it came to my attention. I forget who told me this. This may be secondhand, thirdhand from someone in the organization. I believe I heard that part of the decision was based on the fact that red has been, you know, it's been discovered that it is very, very effective, intimidating color. And if you look back at the last couple of decades and think of the Stanley Cup champions, how many of them had a significant amount of red in their uniforms, it really is amazing. You know, the Canadiens, the Devils, the Hurricanes, the Red Wings, there's a lot of intimidating, high-caliber teams that have worn red, so maybe there is something to it. So far, so good.
Well, and I mean, I like the color of red. It doesn't look like it's Coors Light activated. You know, it's something that can actually, you can go out there and you can wear it. You can feel pride wearing that sweater and feel like, you know what, this is something that I enjoy wearing. And it's something that, you know, you'd even consider wearing outside of an arena just because it's cool looking.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool campaign. The red on the seats looks just spectacular. The building has just completely changed its look. Anyone that's listening to this that hasn't been to a Panthers game since last season, you got to get out there. You're not even going to recognize the building. So it's a fresh, new thing, which I know we all need. That's part of it, too. We needed that. But not only is it fresh and new, but it's mean, it's organized, it has a purpose. And, you know, I think so far the guys are taking to it really well. And, you know, it's so far it's been a secret for success. I hope it just keeps going.
You know, Bill, one of the things that I think has gotten overlooked slightly in just the massive amount of changes, it's hard to keep up, that happened in the offseason here is, of course, the change on the bench, the coaching change for the Panthers. Obviously, we have Kevin Dineen now as the head coach, and we brought in some guys like Craig Ramsey and, you know, just kind of solidifying that coaching position. How do you see that affecting the team, and, you know, how do you feel about that coaching job and the way that it was filled?
Well, you know, I feel great about it. I trust this is the kind of territory that you're getting into now that, I mean, when the team hires somebody like Dale Tallon, you just put a certain degree of, okay, this is in your hands. How you want to structure it, how you want to set it up, what coaches you want there, you know, you got to trust them. I don't think that you and I, as much hockey knowledge as we have, can accurately speculate who the best coach is, what would be the best moves to do. You got to trust Dale, because I know a lot of it has to do with character. So I just go along with it, and every decision he makes, I trust that it's a good one. However, I also think it's an added bonus that Craig Ramsey became available and that he was actually picked up. You know, Craig Ramsey could easily be a head coach in this league right now, and to have him as part of the coaching staff there, and I would imagine, and again, I'm only guessing, that he's taking the reins for a lot of the way that this power play works, I think that's just a huge bonus, because, you know, one of the things that the team really needed help with was power play. And I know if there's anybody there on that staff that's capable of putting the power play together and changing it around, it's Craig Ramsey. So I'm guessing that he has a lot to do with that, and I was very, very happy to hear that he was available and that we got him. That was an awesome little extra, you know, turbo boost right before the season started.
I think it makes sense, too. I think Craig Ramsey's son lives down here, and so, you know, he gets to spend a little more time with his son and gets to play, you know, be a coach in the league and stuff. It's a great, you know, all-around situation.
Yeah, and I know Trevor, too. I've actually played golf with Trevor a few times, and I played with Craig actually last season when he was with Atlanta, too. So got to know the guy really well. Just great hockey people. When you're around people like that, it's just, you know, it's you could spend the entire day just talking about hockey stuff, you know, whether it's reminiscing and talking about the history of the game and the heroes and the Hall of Famers and everything, but also, like, you know, the way the game works and the way it's played, because, you know, there's fixed plays and there's strategies, but hockey is just such a second by second thing. The circumstances and the situations change, you know, on the fly, you know, as seconds go by. So it's such a instinctual kind of thing, but it really, really amazes me that amidst all of that, that there are set up plays and strategies and things that I don't fully understand after decades and decades of playing hockey and being around it. So it just goes to show how big of a scope it is and how little I really, really understand, you know? I just I stop at that, and I leave that stuff in the hands of the coaches because I don't really completely understand it. So I'm happy to just sit by and be a fan.
Speaking of being a fan, Bill, if you look back and think of, you know, your years as a hockey fan, and you had to pick a moment in your hockey fandom that you really could just say, wow, I just really enjoyed that moment in hockey history, what would it be?
Well, again, this one's a little too easy. I grew up in Westchester County, New York, so I grew up going to Rangers games as a little kid. Like I mentioned, that first game I went to, Gordie Howe played in that game. So that was pretty special. I still look back at that as thinking that I was a pretty lucky kid to see Gordie play. And I actually went to the last home regular season game for the Rangers that season. Don't think they made the playoffs. This would have been 70-71. And but they finished off the season with a nice 6-1 victory over Detroit. And I got to see how that whole excitement is, the way those Rangers jerseys looked on the ice, the way the Madison Square Garden was, the whole atmosphere is amazing. So I was a hardcore Rangers fan, you know. In recent years, it has definitely kind of slipped away from me. I am attached to this Panthers team. I like the underdog thing about it. I've enjoyed rooting them on, these, you know, those hair-pulling moments of trying to make the playoffs. I love that. But, you know, in the middle of being a hardcore Rangers fan, I moved to Dallas. I had a couple of radio jobs out in Dallas. And so I happened to be in Dallas in the 93-94 season doing some stuff for the Stars. And, of course, still, you know, rooting for the Rangers and watching them on satellite, on my big C-band satellite dish. And they made the playoffs, and they just roll through that playoff season. And then to watch them win Game 7 against Vancouver in a sports bar in Dallas that was themed around hockey, it was called, not penalty box, it was called Slap Shots. And I was there with a handful of other Rangers fans and a bunch of people that were really new to hockey. And yeah, that was it. I mean, just to see that final face off there to the right where Craig McTavish won it, put it in the corner, I'll just never forget it. And then just going completely crazy. I ended up running around to several different bars in Dallas until they closed. And in each bar, me and my buddy, my other annoying Ranger fan friend, we would go in, buy a bottle of champagne, pour it all over each other, get kicked out of the bar, and then go find another bar to do that to. And we did that until all the bars were closed. And then I came home and listened to, I think, 30, something, somewhere between 30 and 40 voicemail messages on my, you know, little cassette answering machine in my bedroom and before I went to sleep that night. And that was just an amazing, amazing night for a hockey fan waiting many years for something like that to happen. So I can't wait to go through it again, and I can't wait to see Panthers fans experience that and see what it's like to watch your team win a championship. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility in the next few years, kids.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I said the next time you get to do that, hopefully, will be when the Panthers win the Stanley Cup. That'll be a great experience. Bill?
Here's to them, man. There you go.
How can fans get in contact with you? I know you have the Bill Murphy Show, which is a podcast. What are some other ways that they can get in touch with you, hear what you're doing musically, and whatever else you're working on?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you mentioning that. And here's to you, my fellow podcaster. I mean, over a year ago, I started an all music interview internet radio show podcast called Bill Murphy Show. BillMurphyShow.com. People can find me there, email me there, listen to shows. Like, I've got 160 or so shows posted on there, and we've got some great new ones coming up from everybody from international superstars all the way to local up-and-coming artists that need to be discovered. I love giving them the exposure, and I'm having fun with that, so you can reach me there. And Murph@BillMurphyShow.com is an email address. Anybody can reach me anytime. And, of course, you can always find me at the games, mostly hanging around by Section 109 with the Rat Pack and the Lady Panthers doing our whole thing for the game presentation, trying to make it as fun as we can for everybody. But, yeah, Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. And, you know, I encourage this. I think this whole radio podcasting thing is the wave of the future. People are in an on-demand world. They're listening to things when they want to listen to it, what they want to listen to, and not being force-fed. And I think these are, you know, between mine and this show you guys have there, two great examples of, I think, what entertainment of the future is for us. So keep up the great work, guys, and let's do this again sometime.
For sure, for sure. Make sure to go up to Bill at one of the upcoming home Panthers games. Tell him that you heard him on Rat Trick Radio, and he'll take a picture with you for free.
And tweet. Watch for the tweets on the away games, and I'll post Panthers, and then we want everybody to follow along to Bill. Actually, my Twitter handle is Bill Murphy Prod, as in productions, P-R-O-D. So that's how you can find me. Follow me on Twitter, and we'll all celebrate the goals together on the road games.
Thank you so much, Bill, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Josh. See you guys. Hey, everybody. This is Arena MC for the Florida Panthers, Bill Murphy. You're listening to the greatest Florida Panthers podcast anywhere on the net, Rat Trick Radio.
Bill Murphy. Got to love him. Dave, I know that Bill is one of your favorite radio personalities here in South Florida.
He was required listening through my high school years every night on 103.5 WSHE. Those who are local might remember seeing the bumper sticker, "She's Only Rock and Roll." Bill Murphy was a big reason for that. I think he worked weeknights. He was usually about, I think, 8 to, you know, maybe, you know, midnight or whatever it was. I don't know. Back then I was an early sleeper. But I did listen to Bill Murphy a lot. Somewhere around my house, I still have my Murphy Plays Metallica t-shirt that I won along with some concert tickets, because back then Bill Murphy was the only guy with enough foresight to play a then somewhat unknown band called Metallica. We're talking the late 80s here. So Bill's always been one of my favorite guys, and really thrilled that we had him on today.
Awesome, awesome. And also we have a couple of minutes where we chatted with Scripps Treasure Coast beat writer Bill Whitehead. Okay, joining us now on Rat Trick Radio is a friend of the Rat Trick, a avid hockey enthusiast and a journalist. Bill Whitehead from Scripps Treasure Coast joins us. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, Josh. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Bill, why don't you tell some Panthers fans how you got involved with writing about hockey and how you just kind of fell in love with the Florida Panthers franchise?
Well, Well, it's funny. I mean, like a lot of people down here, I got caught up in the whole Year of the Rat thing that kind of led to your name, and really enjoyed it. Fell out a little bit with other things, with college football. From a writing standpoint, I was doing a lot of NASCAR for about 12 years. Actually, about 2 or 3 years ago, it stopped, and I just wanted to do something else. I started watching more hockey and took in a few games and really, really loved it, and figured that with the journalism side, maybe I could kind of ease myself in it. Pitched it to my sports editor, and he liked it, and got involved, and it's been fantastic. I tell you, having covered a lot of baseball during spring training, which I still do, every writer to a person had always told me the two best sports to cover for interviews and the personalities and polite behavior, I guess, interviews were golfers and hockey players to a man, and that's how it's been firsthand, really. I mean, a lot of great personalities, especially currently in that Cats dressing room.
Well, and golfers and hockey players, they seem to be hand in hand. A lot of hockey players love to play golf, so maybe there's a connection there. Hey, Bill, how you know, how often do you get to watch the Panthers? I know you get to write for, you know, the Stewart News and the St. Lucie News and all of that, but how often do you get to take in a Panthers game and just enjoy it?
Which one? Just enjoying the game or covering it? To me, covering it, it's hard for me to go and just sit and watch a game from the stands and enjoy a Panther game. I'm just so used to being there and talking to them and seeing how things go that I really enjoy covering the games. Recreationally, I'll go to I went to a couple of college hockey games last year over in Estero and had a blast there. And sometimes we go to the Everblades, you know, the Florida Everblades, the minor league team over there in Estero, which used to be a Panther affiliate, which I liked it a lot better when it was a Panther affiliate. But I'd go over there and enjoy it, you know, sit there and enjoy it. But it's definitely different. I like having the access and being in there and being able to, I feel like I should be riding around there. I don't know any other way at this point, you know?
Yeah, you get used to watching the game from that perspective and thinking about everything as you're writing it. Bill, of all the players that the Panthers have acquired in the last couple of months, you know, coming out of the offseason, free agency and such, mm-hmm. who really, really excites you?
Who excites me? Well, I'm going to give you two answers. I think the one player that excites me a lot, who does things that I haven't seen previous players do in the time I've been following the team, is I like Christopher Stieg a lot. I like his game. Another guy I really enjoy watching is Brian Campbell and our good friend Rinkside. She and I were talking about captaincy the other night, and she was lobbying for Stephen Weiss, and I said, I'm kind of a Campbell guy. I really like what he's brought to the team. His skating ability is unbelievable. But from a flashy standpoint, from an ability to bring some emotion and grittiness, I like Christopher Stieg a whole lot. And I think he's got a chance really to make a name for himself with this team. I think this is the best opportunity of his career. You know, having already won a Stanley Cup and then getting dealt a couple of times, this is a chance for him to kind of be a face on this franchise a little bit, I think.
Bill, what do you think about Jacob Markstrom being sent down to the San Antonio Rampage this week? You know, how do you feel about that? Do you think that they sent him down too soon, or do you think it makes sense?
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is I guess all of us could kind of see that coming when Clemenson had the knee problem, you know, a week or so before the season opened. It's like, well, now you got to bring up Markstrom because originally it was going to be, what, Markstrom to San Antonio and, what, Plant perhaps to Cincinnati, I'm assuming, right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's funny how this business works out because – did you watch the game? I don't know if you watched the Bruins and the Islanders last night, but they really were saying that was a showcase for Nabokov to, you know, maybe show his ability still, because I guess the Islanders were asking for a third round pick for him, but he blew it last night, obviously on national TV. And I just don't know if maybe the same isn't going to be for Clemenson. I don't think, who knows, maybe Clemenson's time up here is the time to showcase him and show what he can do, and then Dale maybe deals him and brings Markstrom back up.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the case, and that might be what he was thinking for sure. What of the Florida Panthers have this new campaign this year called We See Red. What do you think about all of that, with the red jerseys and the red arena? What does that get you excited about?
frankly, I love it. And it's funny because I was not a huge fan. I was excited when I heard they were going to have a third jersey, third sweater, third sweater last year. And when it came out, I was not excited with it. It looked so much like the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, alternate. And to completely go in a different direction with the red and revamping the Bank Atlantic Center, and even the press box is now red. I really like it. I think that the new sweater is a great look. I like it. I really do. As disappointed as I was when that blue one came out, and both of my sons have those blue sweaters in our household, I'm really excited about the red. I'm equally as excited about the red.
Bill, in the past, looking back in Florida Panthers history, who was one of your favorite Florida Panthers to ever wear the uniform?
Pavel Bure. I mean, you know, he was one that certainly excited me. John Van Beesbrook. I have a Beezer sweater in my closet, which I don't get to wear very often, except when I go see the Everett Blades play, or if I'm in South Carolina and I go see the South Carolina Stingrays play, I'll trot that out. But those were guys who excited me. And unfortunately, like I said earlier, I have that gap, you know, a little bit of my history where I kind of fell out of it a little bit, but I'm more passionate about it than probably any other sport I've been involved with. And oftentimes it's hard to disassociate the fan from the journalist. You know, there have been times like last Sunday when you walk away from there just shaking your head, and you're shaking your head as a fan, not as a journalist, because as a journalist, you're not supposed to have a dog in this fight, but can't help it when you're a fan. And when you've gotten mad over things that didn't go right the past couple of years, especially under Pete DeBoer, just to put a time frame on it, it's hard. It's hard not to be a little bit of a fan up there, you know. But I think this is a fun group to watch, and as disappointing as it is, you know, to sit here 6-4-3 is pretty exciting stuff, I would say, at this point of the year, especially considering some of the previous starts to the season where you felt like you were out of it, you know, at this point already, you know, when you were so far down.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Bill, what are some places people can read some things that you've written about the Panthers?
Oh, NHLHotStove.com. I started writing for them last year. One of the reasons I started writing for them primarily was that the team wasn't getting much coverage. And, you know, the people who put it together said, wow, we really like the fact that there's someone who wants to cover the Panthers. And I've given them probably more than anyone else, because I'm probably the only writer on there who's, you know, fully credentialed. And I covered the draft this year, which was a blast. I encourage anyone who follows, you know, who follows juniors and the Canadian Hockey League to really go to the draft. You know, the draft is a blast, though. It's a lot of fun. All the GMs and head coaches are down there on the floor, and you can kind of interact. Players are quick to come over and sign. But, you know, in order to really appreciate it, you have to do a little bit of homework and follow some of these guys and follow a little bit more of the Western Hockey League and Ontario and the Q, you know. Talk about, like, guys like John Huberdeau that we are all excited about, though he has a broken foot, which is not fun. But he'll be back. He's such an exciting player.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, everybody, make sure to read Bill's articles and scripts, newspapers, and make sure to follow him on Twitter at Bill Whitehead FL. And Bill, thank you so much for coming on the Rat Trick Radio.
Thanks, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I encourage people to contact me. I'm quick about getting back to people. This is a lot of fun, and this is what this is supposed to be, all fun. And Dale's made it into a pretty fun time for us, and a lot to be excited about.
Thank you so much, man.
And thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Good stuff from Bill as well, friend of the show, and, you know, just a great guy. He really knows his hockey stuff, and we enjoy talking with him as well. We have a couple of things coming up here on the Rat Trick before we close up. Frank, why don't you tell us what's coming up in just a few short days?
Okay, we're actually going to have our second Rat Trick Road Watch Party. It's going to be on Thursday, November 17th, when the Florida Panthers take on the St. Louis Blues. It's going to be at the Coconut Creek location of Duffy's, 4800 Hillsborough Boulevard. Reservations have been made. We expect a nice crowd. We're going to be in the, what do they call it, the theater room, the sports theater room. So they are primed and ready for us to be there. The last one that we had last month in Boca Raton was a great success. And come on out, watch the game. It's going to be a great night of hockey. We're going to have some fun, eat some food, have a few drinks, and you know, get to know each other a little bit more. You can see the faces behind the writers here, and we'd like to get to know you, our fans. So even if you can only stop by for a portion of the game, come on over and check it out and have some fun with us. We're looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, should be a great time. And we'll have some giveaways and some fun stuff going on there that night as well with Rat Trick Radio. As always, you can interact with Rat Trick Radio by emailing us at rattrickradio@gmail.com or visiting us on Twitter at Rat Trick Radio or one of our respective Twitter handles. Also, you can visit the rattrick.com, which is the New York Times of Florida Panthers news and information. Always feel free to interact with us there through the comments. And of course, we love getting your feedback on Rat Trick Radio. We'd love to talk hockey with you, and we enjoy talking about the Florida Panthers. Guys, you got any closing thoughts, Dave?
All-Star Ballot came out just before we recorded this show. Three Florida Panthers on there, the Brian Campbell, Ed Jovanovsky, and Thomas Fleischman. Missing from there, and I say outrageous. How dare they omit Jason Garrison off that ballot? Five goals so far for the young defenseman. I sense a massive write-in campaign. Maybe, who knows? Maybe, you know what? I'll spearhead it. That's right. I'm spearheading the Jason Garrison write-in campaign. I invite all you Panther fans to join me because he has played at an all-star level so far. Hope to see you guys next week at the Road Watch Party where you can see how our mustaches are coming as well. And we appreciate you. If anyone who's donated to our Movember fund, we appreciate it.
My mustache is not coming along well at all, Dave. Not even slightly.
Mine is kind of hanging in there. I'm going with a full-on, I guess, handlebar mustache, but it's very 70s to go with my hairstyle and I guess my state of mind. But come out, either praise it, make fun of it, whatever you want to do, come on out, though.
My mustache is as sad as Hayden Christensen's acting in Attack of the Clones, Dave. That's how bad it is.
That's wow. That's bad. You have my dearest, my most sincere sympathies, Josh.
Frank, do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on the All-Star ballot bandwagon here for a second. I think we have to have another write-in candidate, Chris Versteeg. I don't know how he cannot be there with the season that he's had and with the way he's played. So, Dave, if you're going to get on the Jason Garrison bandwagon and pump that one up for the write-in vote, and I'm going to be right there with you, I'm going to do the Chris Versteeg write-in vote. Both guys are deserving of being on that ballot. It's absolutely outrageous. How can they do this? Again, another slight. I mean, aren't you guys sick of being slighted? Haven't we had enough of that around here? We need to have these guys recognized. So,
I think we should nominate Dale Talon for our All-Star ballot.
They do have General Manager of the Year, by the by. So he could be definitely in the running for that. So other than that, looking forward to tonight's game against the Jets. Looking forward to meeting all you people coming out to the Road Watch. The update on the mustache I was referred to today, since I'm Greek, starting to look like one of the local Greek diner owners. So I don't know if I like that or not, but it is what it is. It's growing in, and I have no idea what it's going to look like at the end of the month. But again, thanks to those who've contributed. If you got a couple dollars or your coin jar can spare a buck, we appreciate any donation that you can make because it is a great cause.
Indubiously it is. And continue to support everything that we're doing with the Rat Trick. We really appreciate that. We appreciate the interaction that you give us. And we just really enjoy doing this podcast. It's a lot of fun for us, and we hope that you enjoy it too. Don't forget to check out the website to download the podcast on iTunes. But thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Josh.
I'm the very still outraged that Jason Garrison didn't make the All-Star ballot, Dave.
And I'm Frank. Thankfully, that Rusty Olish is continuing to collect some rust.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is not endorsed by the National Hockey League or the Florida Panthers. All names, players' names, descriptions, and accounts, etc., are the express property of the Florida Panthers, Sunrise Sports and Entertainment, and the National Hockey League, or their respected copyright holders. All other content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Fansided LLC and therattrick.com. For more information, visit fansided.com.
Thanks for listening to Rat Trick Radio. Please, drive home safely.